All right. So my name is Amanda McWirt. I am a PhD student at the in North Carolina in the Department of Crop Science, and I'm going to talk a little bit about research that we've been doing looking at different sustainable soil management practices and their incorporation into different fumigation strategies for strawberry production in the southeast. And to give you a little bit of background about why we're looking at these soil management practices, North Carolina is unique in that the large majority of our berries are marketed towards pick your own. So consumers actually come out to the fields and pick berries. It's usually a family activity. So part of that marketing strategy is that growers want to put their berries in a place where they will be recognized. So they are very often planting in the same spot every year, so consumers know where to expect the berries. Of course, planting in the exact same spot every year in the hot, humid southeast leads to a buildup of disease pressure. And in our annual production systems, we fumigate every year to help control that disease pressure. Of course, fumigating gets rid of all of our disease-causing organisms, but it also gets rid of any good soil microbes. So we're left with very low soil microbial populations overall within our system. We also end up finish harvesting around the beginning of June. And then June, July, and August are very often fallow periods in our production system, so the fields are sort of just left abandoned. That might help break some of that disease pressure cycle, but we're also not putting any organic matter back into our system, and we're also not protecting the soil from erosion, particularly if we get hard summer rains during that period. So there's been some work looking at sustainable soil management practices and incorporating these into our production system to kind of counteract some of these negatives. And the practices that have been evaluated are compost, a summer cover crop, and beneficial soil inoculants, or good soil microbes that we put in the strawberry plug media with the idea that once those plugs go out into the field, we're basically inoculating the entire field with those good soil microbes and concentrating them right at the root zone. However, there has been positive results looking at these types of practices, but it's always been done in organic production systems. And since the large majority of our growers are not organic and are fumigating, we wanted to evaluate these types of practices both individually and then in different combinations as applied in both fumigated plastic culture production and non-fumigated systems. This study was carried during 2013 to 2015 at the Center for Environmental Farming Systems down in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and it was done entirely with Chandler variety, which is very commonly used still in North Carolina. With compost, we're applying a very high rate, around 7.5 tons, that's going in at the beginning of June. Cover crops are also going in at the beginning of June. We're using cowpea and pearl millet, and again, a very high seeding rate because we have a short window within to establish that cover crop before we have to terminate it. And with plug inoculation, we're substituting 20% of the media that goes into a tray with vermicompost, and we're adding about 30 mils of native mycorrhizal inoculum per tray. And then we're looking at compost and cover crop together, and then the full combination of everything. And our goal in doing this was really to evaluate how does changing how we manage our soil affect the whole system. And so we looked at yield, fruit quality, soil aspects, soil health, and then also insect populations. It's kind of the ultimate goal of evaluating, okay, so these soil management practices are having some impacts on environmental quality and maybe others on economics, and try and basically just give growers good information about the value of using these types of practices. Today, I'm really just going to focus on yield and fruit quality results from our two-year study, but I will mention briefly one soil result that we had. So in looking at how our different soil management practices, fumigation, and then the interaction between soil management practice and fumigation impacted yields over our two-year study, we did see that there was a significant interaction to impact total yields, marketable yields, and average berry weights in 2014. Fumigation was only significant in 2015 on impacting total yields. And so this really leads to the question, since we're seeing this interaction between soil management practice and fumigation, so which management practices are yielding the highest within each fumigation system, so we can compare how soil management practices are doing to their control, or we can think about how are soil management practices impacting yields differently between the two different fumigation systems. And today I'm going to focus on the second question. So here are our mean total yields for the soil management practice by fumigation interaction for 2014 and 2015. Red bars are fumigated plots for each soil management practice. Blue bars are non-fumigated plots. The solid bars are for 2014. The sort of textured bars are for 2015. Letters indicate differences within the same year. We are looking at total grams per plant over the season. And the orange bar across the middle is just slightly lower than 1 pound per plant. So if you're thinking in terms of economics. And then the asterisks indicate where there was a significant difference between how each soil management practice was impacting yields between the two fumigation systems within the same year. So we saw that compost plus cover crop was yielding higher in the fumigated system in 2014. Cover crops was yielding higher in the fumigated systems in both years. And then plug inoculation was yielding higher in the non-fumigated system in 2014. It was actually not statistically different for total yields, but it was for marketable. And then in 2015, where we actually saw that significant effect of fumigation on impacting yields, we saw that the controls were different. So the non-fumigated control was yielding less than the fumigated control. So this really has two things that I want to point out. Plug inoculation did better in the non-fumigated system in 2014, and the cover crop consistently did better in the fumigated system in both years. And then when cover crop was combined with compost, it also did better in the fumigated system in 2014. And so to try and see why we saw these results in terms of yield, we wanted to look at what other effects these practices were having on plant size and then also nutrient uptake. So one thing that we saw with plant size consistently over both years was every time we added mycorrhizal fungi and vermicompost to the plug media, those plugs were bigger going into the field at the planting date in terms of the root dry biomass and shoot biomass. Once those plants actually got out into the field, we didn't always see the same difference. However, in 2015, and looking at mean root dry biomass, and this is data collected where we went and dug up plants at five different points throughout the season, we did see that plug inoculation did still have bigger roots than its control, but only in the non-fumigated system. Cover crop and compost both led to larger root systems in the fumigated system. Then with nutrient uptake, it's important to think about with compost and cover crop, we're adding a lot of nutrients, and we wanted to account for those nutrients by scaling back our pre-plant fertilizer applications. So we accounted for how much nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium we're applying via compost and cover crop, and we found that that combination in plots that got both compost and cover crop, we were supplying sufficient pre-plant nitrogen in both years. The pre-plant recommendation is 60 pounds, and we met that in both years. And then we wanted to evaluate, so if we put all of our pre-plant fertilizer via compost and cover crops for plots that got compost and cover crops, and the other plots that are not getting those treatments, we gave traditional ammonium nitrate pre-plant fertilizer. And in the spring, when we evaluated, was there an effect of management practice, or was there an effect of these plots getting all their pre-plant nitrogen from an organic source or a chemical source, we saw that there was no effect. So nitrogen was not different, either nitrate or nitrogen, via management practice in either year. Fumigation did have an effect on nitrogen, and that's something that has been seen before, where fumigation actually has a little bit of a release of nitrogen, and we saw that where nitrogen was always higher in the fumigated system. We also saw that there were some interactions going on with particular nutrients, and that some of these nutrients are related to yields. But because we have some practices both by themselves and then various combinations, we wanted to sort of tease that out by doing a contrast analysis. And so we did a contrast analysis for different management practices between the two fumigation systems to see were they acting differently and impacting yields in some way, and was it related to plant tissue nutrients in any way. So in 2014, we did see that cover crops, again, were yielding higher or yielding different in the fumigated and between the fumigated and non-fumigated system, and they were on average yielding higher in the fumigated system, and that might have been related to an increase in nitrogen under the fumigated system. However, there was also this increase in nitrogen between the plug inoculation between the fumigated and non-fumigated system, but there was no associated difference in yields. In 2015, plug inoculation actually on average yielded higher in the fumigated system than the non-fumigated system, but there was no associated difference in plant tissue nutrients. Overall, manganese was increased by fumigation in all treatments. So looking at this, we can say that nutrient effects alone are not explaining our yield results, and it's interesting that when cover crops was by itself, it was always doing better in the fumigated system, but when it was combined with other practices, we lost that in 2015. We couldn't see that difference anymore. So that sort of indicates that there's interactions going on between soil management practices when they are combined. One other thing I want to mention is that we saw in both years with the plug inoculation, particularly within the fumigated system, we had this goal of, okay, we're fumigating, we're removing all these soil microbes. Maybe with the plug inoculation, we can reintroduce those microbes into the fumigated system. One way we monitored that was by looking at our Buscarium mycorrhizal fungi populations in the roots. And so our inoculated plugs, when they went into the field, had around 23% mycorrhizal fungi in the roots. And that's that orange bar across the middle. When we came back in the spring to evaluate how much mycorrhizal fungi was actually in the roots in both years, we saw a really strong effect of fumigation. So all of those green lines are how much mycorrhizal fungi are in the roots in the non-fumigated system, and all the red lines are how much mycorrhizal fungi were in the roots in the fumigated system. So basically, we had a lot of mycorrhizal fungi in the plugs. We put them into the fumigated system, and we weren't able to keep that mycorrhizal fungi alive, which is an interesting result that even though we're planting beyond 21-day plant back, there's still some low-level effect of fumigation, and we weren't able to reestablish mycorrhizal fungi into the fumigated system. And this is significant because we did see that plug inoculation in some cases acted differently between the fumigated and the non-fumigated system. Particularly, it yielded the highest in the non-fumigated system in 2014, and then there was larger root system in 2015 in the non-fumigated system. And we do know that mycorrhizal fungi have a really big impact on changing root architecture and overall biomass, and so that may be part of that reason why we saw that difference in biomass. In 2015, we also collected some fruit quality measures. So at three different points in the season, we collected berries, and then we evaluated them for both shelf life and for flavor. In terms of shelf life, we took the berries, put them in refrigeration for 8 days, and then came back and looked at different measures of decay. And for overall appearance, fruit shrivel, and then the summary, we actually saw that berries coming from the fumigated system had lower levels of decay, so they had better shelf life. And that's actually in contrast to other research that has shown that organic berries generally have better shelf life. But they were evaluating shelf life after only 2 days. On the other hand, when we looked at measures of flavor, we saw that soluble solids or bricks, pH, and then the ratio of soluble solids to acids was actually higher in the non-fumigated system. And this actually matches previous research that has shown that organic berries or berries that are grown without fumigation have better flavor. And our pickers actually were the ones that first pointed this out to us, that they thought the non-fumigated berries tasted sweeter. So in looking at our different management practices within the two fumigation systems, plug inoculation always led to larger plugs at the planting date. Plug inoculation as a treatment was higher yielding in 2015, though in 2015 we did have a significant effect of fumigation on increasing yields. In 2014, plug inoculation alone yielded higher than the control, and it actually had larger berries. In 2015, it had the biggest root system. We were not able to use plug inoculation to reestablish mycorrhizal fungi. Cover crop consistently yielded higher in the fumigated system. And then the combination of compost and cover crop did supply sufficient pre-plant nitrogen. Fruit quality in terms of shelf life was better in the fumigated system, and then there was higher bricks in the non-fumigated system. So we were able to see that there are interactions between different soil management practices and fumigation on both yield and fruit quality, and we should probably be making specific recommendations to growers based on these results. I think I'm probably close to time, but...
Oh, time,
okay, perfect. I'm happy to take questions. Yes, go ahead.
What is the typical pH in the product experimental side?
I'm sorry?
pH of the soil.
The pH of the soil is around 6.5.
6.5.
Mm-hmm. At the experimental site.
Amanda, do you have any thought behind why there was no effect of fumigation in the first year versus an effect of fumigation? Have you seen something going on? Because I saw a similar effect at my site.
Yeah, so the question was, why was there only an effect of fumigation in the second year? And I agree. I think it's something that a lot of people see in the first year. There's really no difference. The soil has enough resiliency that it can kind of support that. And then we actually saw that in our second year, we had increased disease pressure, and it was more prevalent in the non-fumigated system. And so I think that is why fumigation in the second year actually did have an advantage.
So did you go back to the same block to fumigate, for example?
Yes. So between the 2 years, the study was placed exactly on top of each other. So plots that got compost and were fumigated in the first year got compost and were fumigated again in the second year.
Mm-hmm. Was strawberries grown in the field prior?
So the question is about the field and history with strawberries. It had other previous strawberry production in that field, but it hadn't been in strawberries in like 2 or 3 years. So it'd been a while. It'd been in like a wheat corn rotation.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.